Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs. Have you ever been told by somebody that you shouldn't be so judgmental? That you should just pay attention to yourself and forget about what other people do? That when you, even with good friends sometimes, go and try to talk with them about things that need correcting in their lives, that they'll say, who are you to be my judge? Well, what about judging? The Bible certainly has a lot to say about what God wants us to judge and what God wants us not to judge. So I feel like it's a very important subject that I'd like to spend some time with. And so today, Lord willing, we'll begin a series of lessons concerning proper and improper judgment. Before we do that, however, I'd like to remind you that the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix has offered or extended to you an invitation to come and to participate with us in our gospel meeting. On November the 1st at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we will assemble and worship God. That worship, insofar as the lesson or the sermon is concerned, will be presented by a guest that we have invited to come and speak to us. His name is D. Bowman, and he's from Pasadena, Texas. I think that perhaps many of you who are listening to this radio program either know Brother Bowman or have heard of him, and I'm sure that you're aware of his reputation for being a very interesting speaker and one that not only knows the Bible, but is able to make application of the knowledge that he has in such a way that it will help us in our living every day according to what God would have us to do. I think that's our objective, isn't it? To live every day according to the instructions that God gives us. So every piece of information that we can obtain on that noble goal is important to us as we go about trying to let our light shine in a world that needs so badly Jesus Christ. So on 2 o'clock, November the 1st, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, November the 1st, we'll have our first gathering or our first assembly in this gospel meeting, and you're invited to come. After that, every evening, Monday through Friday, November the 2nd beginning on Monday and going through November the 6th on Friday, at 7 o'clock, we'll assemble again to study God's Word at the feet of Brother Bowman. Everyone that's interested in spiritual things should want to come to this meeting, and you're invited. It indeed will be a feast at the table set for us by God. Bring your Bible when you come and check out the things that Brother Bowman has to say and make sure that he's teaching those things that are from God's Word, and then with that assurance, go about making application in your own life concerning God's will for His creation. Now to our subject, proper and improper judging. Our text for this series of lessons will be Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 1 through 6. First of all, I'd like to read to you Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Jesus says, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you." Add to that, if you would, James the 4th chapter, verses 11 and 12. The Bible says, "Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge one another. Those two passages make it clear that God expects us not to judge. He's very forthright and very powerful in his warning that we should not judge. James even uses a rhetorical question, "Who are you to judge another?" Well, now I want you to consider, if you would, on the other side of the coin, a couple of passages. In John the 7th chapter and verse 24, Jesus says, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." Is not that a statement on the part of Jesus that he wants us to participate in some kind of judgment? He says, judge with righteous judgment. Again, in Luke the 12th chapter and verse 57, I read, "Yes, and why, even of yourselves, do you not judge what is right?" Now, in 1 Corinthians the 5th chapter, verse 12 and 13, the Apostle Paul uses the judgment to instruct the Corinthians. The letter that he wrote was to the church that is located in Corinth. And in that congregation of people, they had a man that was living in an incestuous relationship. The people of that congregation had just sort of ignored that sin, had just sort of swept it under the rug. They weren't doing anything about it. The Apostle Paul had heard about it, and he wrote to them with some instructions concerning their actions with this person that was living a sinful life. Listen, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 12, beginning. "For what do I have to do with judging also those who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves this evil person." In order for them to exercise church discipline, and that's what putting away a person or withdrawing from a person or excommunicating from a person is, in order for them to do that, they have to, first of all, know what God's law is concerning the state in which he's living. And after they know God's law, they have to make a judgment. They have to make a judgment that results in a sentence, and that sentence is putting away the evil man. So not only are we shown in John 7 and verse 24 and Luke 12 and verse 57 that God expects us to judge, the application of that we're shown in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, wherein it is held as a standard. The judgment is set up as a standard for fellowship. Well, that's interesting, I think. And what does that tell us? Well, I think it's pretty obvious just from the surface that there must be more than one kind of judging that's talked about in the New Testament. The text that we have in Matthew the 7, verses chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, forbids judging. And then four verses later, in verse 6, it commands or demands judging. What kind of judging does the Bible talk about? Well, let's boil that down to just two kinds of judging. First of all, there's a kind of judging that God condemns, that he's not pleased with. And secondly, there's a kind of judging that God commands, that God is pleased with. In fact, he demands that you and I enter into that kind of judgment. Let's start by looking at those kinds of judging that God condemns, the kind of judging that would cost us our soul. I want to reiterate now Matthew 7, verse 1 and 2, where Jesus says, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." I will also want to reiterate what James wrote in James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. "Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who are you to judge one another?" Well, what is the judging that God condemns? First of all, let me share with you some statements that have been made by the commentators on Bible subjects, the men of great reputation, who through the years have passed the test of time concerning their understanding of God's will. Let me share with you what they have to say about this kind of judging that God condemns. First of all, J.W. McGarvey, a prolific writer and held in high standards by the Lord's people over the years, wrote that this kind of judging that God condemns is a judging from surmise, from insufficient premises, or a judging that is done with ill will. Next, let me share with you some things that were written by a writer by the name of Roberson. He comments that this kind of judging that is condemned by God is a censorious or a critical kind of judging. It is sharp. It is unjust criticism. And finally, some information given to us by a commentator by the name of Woods. He writes that this kind of judging that God condemns is an imputation of unworthy motive. In other words, it's looking into a person's heart to surmise motive behind their actions. Woods also writes that it's putting the worst possible interpretation that is designed to slander and defame a character. Well, I think that those all are very valuable statements as we strive to learn what kind of judging this is that God does not like. What causes that kind of judging? Well, I think there are several things. First of all, it could be an effort to divert attention from one's own sins. You know, when we feign a concern for others and focus the spotlight on them, sometimes people don't look at us and our faults too much. It was Judas who feigned a concern for the poor and accused Mary when he himself was the one that was stealing from the treasure of the Lord. That's found in John 12, verse 5 and verse 6. We also might identify the wrong kind of judging as the kind that tries to console a conscience by diverting the spotlight to somebody else. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12 says, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." So we might participate in a sinful kind of judging in order to talk about the sins of someone else and the evil life of someone else when we ourselves are sinful and evil. It's sort of like the story in Matthew, the 7th chapter and verse 3, about the fellow that looks for a splinter in somebody else's eye when he has a big log in his own eye. And the Lord tells him, get your own eye taken care of. Get that log out of your own eye, and then you'll be clearly able to see clearly enough to help somebody else. That's the case with us oftentimes, isn't it? We need to take care of business at home before we're out and trying to help someone else. It makes us feel when we, in our perception, find someone that's doing more poorly than we are. It makes us feel like, well, we're not so bad after all, and that deters any kind of corrective effort on our part. Have you ever noticed that judging others to justify ourselves reveals a problem with our heart. We judge others of what we're guilty of oftentimes. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourselves, for you who judge practice the same things." I heard it said one time that if you hear a preacher that addresses the same subject over and over and over again and with great enthusiasm and condemns others, that oftentimes he's having the same problem or doing the same thing himself that he's condemning. Well, oftentimes the one that complain is in that circumstance. The condemning that God is displeased with, that God condemns, is an intent to build up ourselves while tearing down others. It denotes a superiority complex. That was the problem with the Pharisees. Let me read to you Luke, the 18th chapter, beginning in verse 9, and evaluate, if you would, while you hear these words, what the heart or the condition of the heart was with the Pharisees. Luke 18, verse 9, beginning. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. But the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but he beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So the one that was humble went down to his house justified, rather than the one that was so stuck up, so haughty, so overconfident in his own condition. There's also, in many cases, a display of envy and hatred in this kind of judging that God condemns. We certainly see that in the case of King Saul and David. King Saul was just so jealous of David and the popularity that he had with the people, and he was judgmental in a way that God condemns. Haman was the same way with Mordecai. You remember the story. Well, why is this wrong kind of judging so unjust in itself? First of all, people that participated in this wrong kind of judging hardly ever know all of the facts or all of the circumstances, so then they're working with just partial information, aren't they? I remember reading that a man was on a train and he was going to a destination, and he sat beside a man that was holding a young child, and that child was not calm, making noise and fussing and making the whole trip to this other gentleman just unbearable. And finally the man that was being upset with the child looked at the father and he said, why don't you give that child to its mother? Well, his mother was in a casket in another car, and they were on their way to the burial site. And the trauma had just devastated the family and was at least partially the cause for the child being so fussy. Well, I don't know if that story was true. I think that it was. But it brings to mind just how unjust it is to establish opinions, to make judgments when we are not privy to all of the circumstances surrounding the situation. Secondly, it's next to impossible to make impartial judgments. Partiality reigns in the life of man, where we become partial dependent upon those things that we know, the people that we know, the attitudes that we have, the upbringing that we've had. It's almost impossible for a human being to make impartial judgments. When the Greeks used to try a capital case, they would make the courtroom dark and let evidence be presented in front of the judge in such a way that only those things that were said that pertained to the case were hid, and not surrounding things that might cause a partial judgment. The judge in those cases would sit on a chair that was upholstered with human skin. Oftentimes that was done by the Persians. In fact, I think that they even began that process. And here you're sitting as a judge, and you're listening to information that's going to determine the life or the death of someone that is charged with a capital offense, and you're sitting there in a chair covered by human skin that gives you a perspective about the seriousness of the decision that you're about to make, of the judgment that you're about to make. I remember hearing one time about a mom who had a son and a daughter that were married within the same month. And after her kids had been married for a few months, the mom asked the gal, how's your marriage going, daughter? And she said, oh, it's just wonderful. My husband lets me sleep late. He provides me with the funds to go regularly and to the beauty shop. He takes me out for dinner so that I don't have to cook very much. This is just like utopia. And the mother was so thrilled. And then later on, she saw her son, and she said, how's your marriage? And he said, well, I'll tell you, my wife sleeps late. She goes to the beauty shop regularly, and she always wants to go out to dinner so as not to cook. And the mother says, well, I am so sorry that you have such a terrible wife. Well, I wonder if that doesn't point out to us the importance of perspective, the importance of us to make sure that when we participate in judgment, it's done impartially. Not everything that we condemn in others is sin. Hannah was accused of drunkenness, but it wasn't drunkenness. It wasn't that at all. 1 Samuel 1, verse 2 beginning. Jesus himself was accused of being a blasphemer, but he was not guilty. Mark 2 and verse 7. Sometimes we're quick to judge people, and what they're doing is not according to what we're accusing them of at all. I've heard people very censorious and condemning brethren that might fall asleep during a gospel sermon. But I wonder, could not that person be ill and on some kind of pain medication that makes it difficult for them to stay awake? And incidentally, it might just be that the preacher is kind of boring to listen to. We got to be careful when we judge. I remember one time that my son had invited a school friend of his to come to worship services with him, and finally his friend accepted, and they came to worship service, and during the worship service his friend asked him a question concerning some of the things that we were doing. I think it might have even been during the communion service. His friend asked him a question because he had never been to a church service before, and my son answered the question. And then the preacher got up and started preaching, and the friend had another question, and he asked my son, and my son told him, and the preacher just stopped and looked down at him and said, when you boys are through talking, I'll continue preaching. Well, I'll tell you what, that friend of my son has never come back to another church service. And I'm not trying to say that that's right, because it's not right. The friend should be concerned about spiritual things. But there was a judgment there that was made. Some assumptions were made. And and it resulted in discouraging someone from even learning, discouraged them from returning to the church so as to become mature enough to overcome the temptations of the devil to turn once back upon the Lord. We must be careful then that our judgments are not condemning others of sinful acts when indeed they're not sinful at all. Well, that's all of the time that we have for today's lesson. But as you see, I think that there's information in the subject of judging and not judging, proper and improper judgments, that's critical to us as we try to live a life as a Christian. Thank you so much for listening. I hope that you'll come and join us in this gospel meeting that begins on November 1st at the Monte Vista Church of Christ. We look forward to seeing you there. Have a nice day. Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.